Let's go to the phone lines. We'll go to Kansas City to my good friend, Garrett Gordon. We got to talk some brackets. Garrett, how you doing today?
Oh, it's my favorite time of the year, right? It's March Madness season.
I know. I saw this guy on Twitter last week. He's like, you know, this is what the post said. I'm looking for someone to host a March Madness podcast with me for the next couple of weeks. And your face popped in my head. I said, no one knows basketball better than you. And here's the text I just received from Garrett. Let's make sure I say this right. All right. I got people mad at me on Twitter because I told them not to jump on the all in on McNeese State. What happened? What'd you do?
I literally last night was basically, I saw everyone picking McNeese State, and I just wanted to warn people that, like, we're talking about a Gonzaga team that has won its first game every year since like 2007. Like we're going on a really long stretch of them winning their first game. They really don't get beat in that first game almost ever.
So take McNeese State. What are you saying?
I just think that people really like McNeese State, and I think they are sleeping on Gonzaga because the narrative around Gonzaga has been that they're not as good this year. And they're not as good, but they still beat Kentucky recently. They won 9 of their last 10, and they still have some really good players on that team. I think this could be a Sweet 16 team that people just don't want to be there because for whatever reason, people don't really like Gonzaga.
Okay. I ask this to everyone, I will ask you. Have you ever won a bracket challenge before?
I've won once or twice, but like I don't feel like there's not like a rhyme or reason to it. I think one year I won when I was in college because I picked Syracuse to win it all with Carmelo Anthony, and that wasn't a super popular pick that year. And I was just like, I like Carmelo Anthony. And the other year I won was the Kemba Walker UConn year, which was just me going, I like Kemba Walker, so I'm taking UConn. Those are the only 2 years I've won it.
Okay. Should I just take one of the mega powers to win the whole thing?
Listen, more often than not, that's what happens. It doesn't always happen, right? Last year, none of them get there. But more often than not, that's the smartest bet. But here's the thing. What you kind of want to do in a bracket challenge is you're looking for the most likely option that not everyone else is picking, because if you get behind and you have the same champion as everyone else, you kind of just can't catch up.
I have Arizona going to the Elite Eight. Is that an example of trying to go for that?
I think you could put Arizona in your Final Four and feel very, very comfortable. Their odds of a Final Four are pretty high compared to what, you know, a normal number two seed would be. So if you look at the history of, if you look at like their two seed, I think their odds this year are almost 30% of making the Final Four. That's really good odds for a two seed.
Do you like UConn as the favorite, though?
I think they are the favorite, but I will say this about UConn. They were done no favors. They were given the group of death, is what they call it in the World Cup. Like, I mean, that's what they were given. The two seed and the four seed in their region, Auburn and Iowa State, are the fourth and fifth teams in the country, according to Ken Pom's advanced metrics. Fourth and fifth in the country, and they're their four and their two seed.
Yeah, to go over this, okay, UConn went 31-3. Auburn went 27-7. Illinois, the team you didn't bring up, 26-8. Iowa State, 27-7. I'm with you, Garrett. That's a gauntlet.
Yeah. If UConn wins again, they will leave no doubt. It'll be like they went through that gauntlet and still won the title. There can be no doubt. Like, there will be no questioning, did they have an easy path? It'll be, no, they won the back-to-back, and they earned the back-to-back. I think I still lean towards them getting out of that region, but I don't love it because I think it's just hard to get up over and over again to play good teams. Because in the second round, they could be staring at Florida Atlantic, who went to the Final Four last year. In the Sweet 16, they could be facing Auburn, and then in the Elite Eight, they could be facing Illinois, who's very good, or Iowa State, who just smoked Houston by like 30. Like, that is a hard lineup of teams to face.
Yeah, you're talking about Florida Atlantic, 25-8 going into the tournament. That's insane. That is. What did you take out of Iowa State just beating up Houston in that Big 12 title game?
That's a really good team that people are sleeping on. But it's not – I think the thing with this tournament is – there's no one without chinks. Like, there's like little chinks in the armor of just about every single team. And Iowa State is a very good basketball team. I think has all the potential to make a Final Four run, but their offense is not great. And they rely on forcing turnovers to get their scores, and they play really tough, rugged defense. But if they have a game where a team's playing smart and they have to run a half-court offense, that could be their undoing.
Do you like North Carolina?
Not really. If you look at the data, they're one of the lower percentage odds of the one seeds to make a Final Four run. I think right now they're at about 21%, which is 77th out of 88 one seeds since 2002. So their odds are pretty low on like a historical scale. So I don't know. I'm not in love with North Carolina's resume. I've kind of thought the ACC wasn't that good this year. One of the things they struggle with, which is unusual for Carolina, is they don't have a great offense this year. If they end up in a 1-4 matchup with Alabama, Alabama is a really good offense, and that could be the unraveling of North Carolina.
No, you're wrong. I'm going crazy where it's going to be Charleston versus Grand Canyon in round two. I'm going with that.
I like Charleston against any other team, but Charleston's MO is they want to run up tempo and they want to shoot a lot of threes. Well, guess what? They're playing a team that does that and is better at it than they are.
Okay. So in the East and West, who are your Final Four teams?
In the East, I just couldn't go against UConn. I had to bring UConn in. In the West, I went Arizona. I don't feel super confident about it, but I looked at that bracket, and I don't trust Alabama's defense to be a Final Four team. And the other teams in the middle, they were the team I trusted the most.
Yeah, Arizona, I have them as well, because my thing is they take on Nevada, then they beat New Mexico, then they take on UNC to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I have Arizona, Alabama there, and I went ahead and put Arizona in. I would say this. I think Baylor is an interesting, interesting team in that region. I wouldn't be shocked if Baylor runs out of that region. I also think that's the second most likely region to delve into chaos. I think there's a real chance we get some crazy chaos. Would I be shocked if New Mexico makes a run? No, because they're not an 11th seed. They should be like a 5 or a 6 seed. So they're way underseeded, and I think they could make a run too.
All right, let's go to the South. You brought up Iowa State and Houston. Do you still like Houston in the South region?
They were actually the one seed that I knocked out the earliest because I hated the way they played against Iowa State. I don't know if Roberts is going to be healthy. And low-key, I like this Nebraska team, which is something I've never said about a Nebraska basketball team.
They've never won a tournament game.
They have never won a tournament game. But I think this team is real. I think they've got some great passing. I think Kabanaga is a guy that is going to become a kind of March breakout star. I could see them beating Houston. If A&M wins that game, I could see A&M beating Houston. A&M only lost to Houston by 4 points when they played earlier this year, so I think Houston is vulnerable. But again, the odds would say I'm wrong on this. Like, I usually try to go with the odds. I'm not here, but the odds have Houston as having the 19th highest Final Four odds and the highest overall at 42.4% this year. So the odds, if you like to go with odds, they would say you should pick Houston to run. I don't personally.
What do I do with James Madison at 31-3?
I've got him in the Sweet 16. I love their draw. I think that they match up well against Wisconsin, and I think they match up well against Duke. I think that's a really good draw for them. But that sets up in my bracket a situation where James Madison is playing Nebraska for a chance in the Elite Eight, and that's weird.
I know. It's bizarre. All right, so who do you got in the Final Four in the South region?
So I hate this, but I've got Kentucky there, and I do not trust them. I really don't. I did not want – my goal when I originally was not to have them run in this tournament. And I truly believe if Florida does not get their big man hurt, I think I have them in the Final Four. Yeah. I don't think they can overcome that injury, and I feel awful because I really did think that team was coming together.
Yeah.
But I don't trust Marquette. I don't – with Florida's big man out, I don't trust them. I like Colorado as a 10 seed, but I can't have a 10 seed in the Final Four. I think what's weird about that region is if I don't trust Houston, I kind of have to trust Kentucky.
All right, so you got UConn, Arizona, Kentucky. Let's go to the Midwest then with my good friend Garrett Gordon. I texted this to you yesterday. I don't believe in Purdue. I don't care. We've seen this, right? The last couple years.
So here's my thing with Purdue. I don't believe in them at all, but I don't believe in most of the teams in this tournament, and they got the easiest setup I have ever seen. I that is a very easy bracket. And the only other time in the history of the tournament, a team lost to a 16 seed, right? The next year, they went on to win the title.
Virginia.
So yeah. I've got Purdue in my Final Four, but hey, don't listen to me.
No,
I think I've trusted Purdue before. I've tried to tell myself not to trust Purdue, but when I look at that region, I just, who's beating them? Like, I don't see it. And part of it is I do not trust any teams in this region. A lot of people are kind of leaning on Creighton. I think Creighton's good. Are they Final Four good? I don't know. Tennessee, I like them a lot, but they didn't make it out of the quarterfinals of their tournament, and traditionally that is a sign of teams that aren't going to run. By the way, Kentucky did the same thing, so a little hypocritical there, but you have to pick teams, right? So when you have a lineup like this with a lot of people you don't trust, you got to pick someone.
What's up with Tennessee every year? What are they?
Well, they're another one of these teams that's never like made a Final Four. Or I think it's Rick Barnes. No, Rick Barnes made it with Texas. So Tennessee has never made a Final Four. And it's not like they haven't had the talent to get there. I remember with Curtis Lofton, they got close. There's just something where they're always kind of close but not quite. And they have had some early round chokes. I don't think they're an early round exit candidate. I'm not a Texas believer at all. I think people are overplaying Virginia. I actually don't think Virginia's very good. I think they're a pretty easy lock to a Sweet 16. But then, like, if they play Creighton, that could be interesting. And I don't think they can beat Purdue.
All right. So you have Purdue, correct? In the Midwest?
Yes, unfortunately.
All right. Who's in your title game?
My title game is UConn and Purdue.
Wow. And then who wins?
Very boring. So, so boring.
And then who do you have winning it?
I have UConn winning it. I really didn't want to pick UConn. I looked for every reason not to pick them. I actually don't think that bracket's going to win. I think if you want to win your bracket, you should not pick what you think's going to happen. You should do that some of the time, but you should definitely throw some. If there's a team you believe in, I would say go ride them. If you really like the look of Iowa State, maybe you love offense and you think Alabama can run, there's always a Final Four team. Even in years where it's pretty chalky, we rarely have like a bunch of ones and two seeds. There's usually at least one interloper in there. So I don't have an interloper in my Final Four. Before I submit these to like any bracket challenge, I might try to rectify that. But if you're making a bracket, I would suggest you find an interloper.
How did Michigan State make the tournament?
They got to take 68 teams.
You notice,
I think once you get to that bubble, right, like all those teams are pretty flawed.
See, that's where it's a little like, and look, I get it. Michigan State has the pedigree. They got Izzo. Everyone knows who they are. But they haven't been great in a couple of years now. My thing is, like, you look at University of South Florida. What did they go like? They get, what, 25 wins? They lost two regular season games since early December. I get it. They got knocked out in the American tournament. But, like, want to give them a chance over Michigan State.
That's Listen, I'm always going to believe that we should give mid-majors more chances. The reality is that they just seem to really believe that these teams can schedule well in the non-conference. I think teams tend to duck good non-conference teams, but if you look at the teams that got left out, their non-conferences are weak. In Michigan State, while they don't win a lot of those games, they play a crazy non-conference slate every year. Like, if you look at Michigan State's non-conference, it's an insane schedule. Like, their non-conference, they played Duke this year. They played Arizona this year. You know, James Madison ends up in there, and they're in their non-conference. They played Baylor in their non-conference. Like, they go and they played Indiana State this year, and they beat Indiana State by 12.
Here's the update I want you to know, Garrett Gordon. So South Florida has this, like, historical season. They win their regular season title.
Yeah.
They don't make the tournament, and then here's what they're rewarded with. They have to go to UCF for an opening round game for the NIT. The game's at 9 o'clock at night, and it's not televised. It's on the Watch ESPN app. That's what they got for their magical year.
Yeah, the NIT always is just kind of like this throwaway tournament. I know people get upset when people decline bids to the NIT, but I don't have any problem declining bids to the NIT. It really... I don't know. If you want your kids to keep playing, go ahead. But I think if you guys as a program decide not to play, I don't think that's that big of a deal.
Did you see where Tom Crean, he was complaining, ripping those teams apart? And then and then it turns out, where was he coaching at? Was it Indiana or where was it? Or Marquette?
Yeah, I want to say when he was in Indiana, they turned something down.
Yeah, he just forgot. That's what I like about that. I do. All right. So are you working Thursday or Friday?
Define working. Oh, man. I will be at work, but I don't know how focused I'll be.
All right. I mean, that's fine. Is this these first couple days, is it the best in sports for you?
For me, it is. Like, I don't think there's a better kind of just as an all-encompassing event than the opening rounds of March Madness. I think you have a little bit of everything, and there's always options. I think the one thing that gives it such a big advantage is if one or two games are going sideways and aren't quite as interesting, there's more games. And a lot of times, like things like the NFL playoffs, which are really exciting, usually there's one game at a time. And if it's a bad game, like, you're just kind of stuck with this bad game.
Yes. Who's the best player in this tournament?
That's a good question. I think it's probably one of the Kentucky backcourt guys, probably Shepherd or Dillingham. My favorite guy in this tournament is UConn Stephon Castle. I think he's awesome. He's probably my favorite guy in this tournament. And I think Dalton Knecht is really awesome too for Tennessee. But I think if you're just talking best, guys that are going to be pros, I think Reed Shepherd and Rob Dillingham are both going to be like top 5-6 picks. And that's really good.
Don't you feel like this tournament, someone could go on a Steph Curry, Wally Szczerbiak type run and get themselves in the NBA draft?
There's always ways to do that, especially in a year like this NBA draft, which is kind of weak.
Yes,
I would be shocked if someone gets red hot and kind of puts themselves on the map, and people start going, "Oh, you know that guy is better than I thought, or that team has someone I thought that isn't as interesting, or now I'm interested in them." I mean, I don't think this is going to be a super upset heavy tournament, but I think some of the teams that pull upsets could make like decent runs. Like, I think New Mexico has opportunity. I think Samford, I think James Madison. I think there's some lower seeds that have not only win one game potential, but like make a run potential.
Well, I'm going to burn the tape of this, so it doesn't matter what you said. It's all ridiculous. All right, I'll let you go. I know you're a busy man. Come back on, and we'll recap your picks in another week. All right, man?
All right, sounds good. All